Nambik, along with Heidi Baker. Graham Baker in Papua New Guinea. Egan in Tanzania. And Jerry and Jenna Lack, you changed the nation of Botswana. They've been there a long time, and there's no people that they have not reached. No age group, no socioeconomic group that they haven't reached. And they've given their lives to a nation. I know that sounds, well, yeah, they go there. No, they moved there and they took a nation and they raised their family there. And that's where they live now. And they're continuing on in ministry and continuing on in ministry. It's just rare nowadays to find people with that kind of stamina and love for God and love for people. But we just need to keep them in our prayers constantly, constantly. Amen? All right. Stand on your feet, folks. God's couple in Botswana, the Jerry and Janet.
Good morning, good morning. You may be seated. God bless you. It's great to be here today. I want Janet just to come up, my bride of 33 years. We've been married for 33 years. And, you know, we launched out 33 years ago, 33 years of miracle ministry. God is bigger today than he ever was before. But I just want you to just hear from her for a minute. She's
all right.
My good thing.
I'm his good thing. That's what he said. How romantic.
The Bible says when a man finds a wife, he obtains favor.
She's yeah. My good thing. Amen. Well, I married a man that said, God, send me where nobody else is willing to go, where it's not popular or glamorous. But at the same time, he'll show you his story. But when I was 18 years old at Christ for the Nations, I thought I was on a journey to go work with youth in America. And God touched my heart with his heart for Southern Africa. And, you know, I went through Bible school. I was ready to go. When I graduated, I went to buy my ticket to go to Africa. And the Holy Spirit said, don't go now. Wait. And I'm like, wait just a minute. You know, I didn't train to wait. Lord, I'm ready to go. But he didn't tell me why, but he said, wait. And so I went back to my home local church, much like this church, became a youth pastor for a year, served my pastors. And then along the way, not too long after, I met this guy right here. And I had my list. How many single girls and guys we got here? Wave at me. We have our children. Wow, there's a lot of married people here. That includes teenagers and children, so listen carefully. So I have my list was number one, he had to love Jesus as much as I did. Number two, he had to be called to Africa. That's kind of weird, isn't it? Number three, I wouldn't mind, Lord, if he was good looking. Tick. Check. Yeah. So when I met Jerry, you know, I couldn't believe it, you know, that I really doubted and wondered and all that. But, you know, God is faithful. And to save the whole long story for a girls' night sometime, ladies, we'll have to do that. God brought me a wonderful man into my life. I was also called to Africa when I was at Christ for the Nations before I met Jerry. So in my waiting flight holding pattern, you know, God connected us and we got married, put our things in storage and went to Africa, and God touched my heart. And you know, we thought we'd be there a couple of years, you know, and Africa shall be saved, you know, run our bunkie. And then, you know, we'd move on and go somewhere else, but it's been over 2 years. And, you know, and we're going to die there or be resurrected to heaven when Jesus comes. We've got our little family plot and we intend to stay, you know, and finish our days there serving the Lord unless he led different. But it sure doesn't look like he's doing that, you know. I've got grandchildren. I'm about to leave my first grandchild in America and go back. It's going to be hard. But I have to think about what my mother did when with her four children, you know, one by one, we'd bring them home, let her see them, and then we'd go back, you know. So now I'm getting a little taste of my own medicine, but it's part of the there's not a lot of sacrifice. We're the ones that are blessed and privileged and, you know, so honored to be able to go. It's people like you sitting Sunday after Sunday, working your job week after week, giving your tithes, giving your offerings in a church that honestly, it enables missionaries to live and be on the field. It's so true. And we standing here today, you know, you may think, wow, you know, all the wonderful things the pastor said, you know, but we look at you and we say thank you. You know, thank you on behalf of all the missionaries that y'all support, all the work you do through different ways, through a vehicle to drive. That's one of the hardest things for missionaries coming home not having a car to drive. I don't know if they know. They know? Yeah, y'all have. So I've never even met Pastor Paul. And I came home for my grandmother. My grandmother passed away. She was 102 years old. We lived long in my family and in his family. And so we got a lot of years left. But my grandmother passed away about 10 months ago. And, you know, I came and I'm like, Lord, if we need a vehicle to drive, you know. And then just out of the blue, Pastor Paul said, hey, do y'all ever need a vehicle to drive when you're in the States? And well, a matter of fact, I think I said next week I'm coming and I need. So it was just an answer to prayer. And he flew down, met me at the airport, you know, gave us this beautiful Land Rover to drive. And then flew back to pick it up when I left. It got on the plane to leave. This time we had Ken and Allie, God bless you. They came and they brought us the card just this time, and we got to visit, and such servant's heart. But anyway, you know, every single thing that you do, it's big for a missionary. It goes a long, long way, literally across oceans, but also in our lives. So one last thing I want to say to you grandmas and you mamas and prayer warriors, don't ever give up on the young people that you're praying for. I was a teenager at 14 years old, doing drugs, kicked out of school. God got a hold of my life and put me back in place. And I was a mother's worst nightmare, you know, until Jesus got a hold of my life. And then I ended up, you know, and people say, God, just don't send me to Africa. You know, there was even a song by somebody on that. But, you know, he called me to do that. Don't be afraid, you know, that he's going to do that. If he does, he'll put it in your heart. But don't give up. Don't give up, people praying. Teachers, for your students, just hang in there and believe God. And I'm a living testimony of that. God bless you.
Amen. 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 Well, praise the Lord this morning. It is an honor to be here with Pastor Paul and Ginger this morning. I love what you guys are doing here. You know what? Here's what I've learned around the world, and I've traveled a lot as your pastor has. You know, it's oftentimes we try to measure our success by the size of things, but it's not the size of things, it's the influence that you have. And this church is having an influence. I heard about it before I ever got here, the influence this church is having in this community. But a church that reaches out, we have the Village Church. It was, you know, not tough trying to figure out the name for it. You know, we lived in a village, and I thought, what should we call this church? We'll call it the Village Church. So it's the Village Church. And but, you know, we're about loving people, changing lives, and shaping futures. And we do that every day in practical ways. And that is the gospel fulfilled. It's not enough to preach at people. You need to preach. You need to reach out and demonstrate the love of God. I'm so just impressed and honor your pastors and the opportunity I have to minister with you today. Would you turn to your neighbor and give somebody a high five and say, I hope he's worth listening to this morning. I want to just say this morning that you know, your life, all of us that are sitting here, your life and my life is a story. And I've discovered that God writes stories upon the parchment of our lives, upon the canvas of our hearts. It's something he delights to do, because every chapter of our lives is something that we walk through. And he's continuing to write stories. They're still being written. You know, in life, sometimes the chapters, if you've ever read books before, some chapters are pretty good. Some of them are kind of boring. You skip to the next one. Sometimes in life, the chapters in our life are not really good chapters. I mean, it's like if you camped at the chapter of the last time that you were having trouble in life, you wouldn't go anywhere, but we don't camp there because today God is still in the midst of writing new stories for your life and my life. And I like that about Him. Because you know what? God is the God of the first chance, the second chance, the third chance. God is always up to new things in our life. This morning, I want to tell you a little bit about our story. 33 years. In 1986, as Jana was sharing, Jana and I married, and we put our wedding gifts in storage. And, you know, we launched out into the deep of Africa. And we had a supernatural call from God. We had about $300, 300 bucks a month to live on, you know, packed up our stuff, $300. We had a fresh ordination from Pastor John Osteen, our spiritual parents and father in the Lord, he and Dodie, out of Lakewood Church. And we had one other thing. We had faith. We had faith that if we accepted the go ye invitation that God had given us and that God had presented us, and that if we would go as His ambassadors to Botswana, that God could somehow, in some way, possibly use us, you know, even though we felt like we didn't have much to offer. And we said, well, God, send us, you know, where the labors are few and the needs are the greatest. And so we found ourselves in the middle of the Kalahari Desert in a place that not many people would want to go. But how many even know that God takes small things and He breathes upon them and He can cause the simple things to do great things? God can take the little, because a little in the hands of God is a lot. And I used to think, oh, God, you know, I'm not qualified, and I just don't, you know, I don't think I have enough, and I haven't done this, and I haven't done that. And, you know, some days we're in the midst of running a ministry. Up until last year, we had about 200 full-time employees, and we're just like, God, we don't have a corporate degree. We've never done this before. You know, we're not qualified. But you know what? God doesn't call us on our qualifications. God calls us on our commitment. It's a word that not many people like today, but nothing happens without commitment. You just stay with it. You just stay with it. And so we believe that somehow in some way that, you know, in the natural what we had was little, but a little is a lot in the hands of Jesus. You know, Jesus took a few loaves and a few fish. He took a little slingshot and a boy. I tell you, you know, God can do a lot with a little if you'll just be willing to commit it and consecrate it to Him. So we launched out into Africa, $300. All we had was a tent to live in. We didn't have a Range Rover drive. In fact, we didn't even have a car to drive. You know, we just saved what we had, you know, out of our little food money, and we would hire someone to take us out in the bush, and we began to try to reach out to the beautiful Basara, the sand people of Botswana. How many of you ever seen the movie The Gods Must Be Crazy? Nobody's ever seen that movie? Oh, you have seen it. You either love it or you hate it, but, you know, it's our sand people of the country. They speak in clicks, like that, beautiful. And so we began reaching out to them and just trusting God, you know, to use us. But I want to say that, you know, God can take the little. God will take the seemingly insignificant things, the things that don't seem to have value. But when God breathes upon it, when we commit our lives to God, no matter where you're at today, whatever walk you're in your life, whatever age you are, God can use you tremendously like He has Jan and I. And I give all the glory to God because there's been nothing of ourselves in it, but just that we signed up one day and we said, Lord, here we are. Send us. And so you say, well, what can God do with a couple starry-eyed kids from Texas and $300 and a little tent in Africa to live in? What can God do with that? Well, the answer to that simple question is actually quite simple, but it's also got a profound truth that when God gets into something, the natural becomes infused with the supernatural. The common can become uncommon. The impossible becomes possible because God can do anything with anyone who's willing to commit themselves to Him. I'm talking to somebody today because I believe today that I've come to this place today to speak to people today today who are kind of just thinking, well, God, what do you have for me? But I tell you, you got a pastor with great vision. You got a building. You got a community. And God wants to use you with the vision of this church to reach this community in a powerful way. A church of significance. You know, you find this principle over and over again in the Bible and the gospel. You know, God gets a hold of a little shepherd boy, David. And, you know, what could David do? But God got into David. He got into a slingshot. He caused it to be, you know, a miracle. And so, you know, God can do a lot with a little. And my pastor, John Osteen, used to say, great it is to dream the dream when you stand in life by the starry stream. But a greater thing is to fight life through and at the end say the dream is true. Well, in 33 years, we fought some battles. It hasn't always been easy. But Jesus never said it'd be easy. He just said it'd be worth it. And I'm here to testify that it's always worth it, whatever we do for God. You know, our first house we lived in, I remember before we went to Africa, you know, we had both of us had gone to the movie to see Out of Africa. I don't know if you ever saw that before. It was like a spiritual experience for us. It was Meryl Streep and Robert Redford. And, you know, we could kind of identify with him. We were going to go to Africa. And, you know, it was so romantic. And you know, it was based in Kenya. But for us, it was Africa. And, you know, we watched that movie. And so when we got to Africa, we kind of thought, you know, it'd be like that. We saw that beautiful thatched house built of stone in Kenya. We thought, okay, this is going to be. And so, you know, I remember our finally, after living in a tent for a while, our first house, as we wound down a little country road, you know, with the mountains and stuff, we thought that it was going to be just like that. But to our dismay, you know, this house, you know, it was not exactly like the movie. There were no doors on the house. To make it worse, there were no roof on the house. It was high tech, solar power every day. There was someone occupying the back bedroom, which we were not informed about. We found there was a very large baboon who had moved in the back of the room. And, you know, they taught us some good stuff in Bible school, and Jenna learned a lot at CF and I, but no one taught us how to, you know, to give, to eliminate, you know, animals living in the house. So we went in, gave the baboon the left foot of fellowship, and we began our ministry there 33 years ago today. And we've seen many, many, many miracles. Our first house, you know, I hadn't preached much. And so I discovered that while Jana was in cooking, you know, she's cooking over the open fire and doing her thing, you know, and trying to provide for the family, I found out that if I stood out in the backyard, that a lot of the vervet monkeys from the bush would come and they'd get in the tree. And so I thought, you know, let me just give it my best shot. And so I would go out daily and I'd begin to preach to the monkeys, you know, and I found that if I'd preach real good, they'd be kind to me. But I don't know if you know anything about monkeys. You've ever been to a zoo. They're prone to throw things at you, you know, not always pleasant things. And I found out that, you know, if I would preach real good and I wouldn't, you know, preach, you know, hard on them. You know, sometimes you preach that hard, you know, yo sinner, you know. But if I'd preach the goodness and the mercy of God to them, you know, they'd be very kind to me. But that's how I started preaching, was in the bush many years ago. And since that time, you know, we've seen many miracles. God's worked through our lives, and we have built one of the largest and the most unique ministries in the nation of Botswana. We built an international school with over 500 students, 100 boarders. We ran that school for 26 years successfully. Thousands of young champions gone on and doing great things for God. We've raised up a Bible training center, a rescue center for abandoned babies and children at risk. We about in 2013, we completed a 40,000 square foot multi-purpose center in the middle of town called the Life Center. We've had 45,000 graduates come through our abstinence program through the schools called Reach for a Life. And we've got a strong local church, as I said, the Village Church, and 14 branch churches now in remote villages where prior to our going into those villages, there were no life-giving churches. And many of those churches had no scripture in their local language or in their tongue. But I believe today that our best days are still ahead. 33 years, but we're just starting. And so, you know, I want to just see if I can get you to smile this morning. I heard a story about this woman, and she was in the house, and she was looking out the window, and her little boy, Johnny, was, playing church And you know, as kids do, my son Mason, he used to play church all the time. He'd slick his hair back and put his coat on. And he always said, "Daddy, when you get old, I'll take over this ministry." Well, I'm holding him to that today. But so she was doing the dishes and she was watching. She's so amused as she watched, you know, Johnny out there playing church. First, he was practicing like he was preaching, and she was going on with the dishes. And then a little bit later, she heard the family cat meowing and screaming, you know, as cats can. And she looked to her astonishment to see Johnny preparing to baptize the family cat. And so she looked out the window and she said, "Johnny, stop that. Don't you know that cat's afraid of water?" Johnny said, "Well, you should have thought about that before he joined my church." I don't know what you got into when you came into this church, but I tell you what, just stay with it. It's all going to be good. I'm a preacher this morning. Would you go ahead and roll that little clip back there? Michael, if you're there, I got a little clip that I want to roll in on this message that I believe will encourage you today. That's my goal this morning. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I know that in 33 years, we've had some adversity come into our life. And I tell you what, I got a message this morning that I think will help you today. That message is called "The Miracle is in the Middle." And I don't know where you're at today, but by the unction of the Holy Ghost, I believe that this will help you today to look at adversity different in your life, because we're living examples of what God can do. I'm preaching this morning about the God of the turnaround. You know, I can be emotional because we have walked through the floods, we've walked through the fires, we've walked through some of the most difficult circumstances. But every time that God has come into our lives and He's turned that situation around, He's taken us from tragedy into triumph, and He's proven once over and over again that God is faithful. So I don't know where you're at today, but I want you to kind of let this message settle into your spirit today, and don't ever think it's over. Because it's never over until God says that it's over. And so you may take home today out of this message that you will see challenges differently. Impossible situations are the atmosphere in which God performs His most miraculous. Problems can be solved. Things can change. No condition in your life is permanent. All things through God are subject to change. In Daniel chapter 3, we all know that. I'm sure it's been preached in this church, and you've read it many times, the great story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But there's a truth in this portion of Scripture that I want you to get today. It's in chapter 3 of Daniel. It's the brief story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those three Hebrew children. I'm just going to read a couple of verses out of it. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar was astonished as he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst," if you will, "in the middle of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth one is like unto the Son of God." Verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out. Everybody say they came out. They came out from the midst of the fire. You know, here's a simple fact this morning. I'm not the smartest guy on the block, and I was not the sharpest guy at school, you know. But I think that I'm in a house of people here today that can relate to this. Here's a simple fact. In order to come out of something, you must first go in. Am I right? Is that pretty easy? In order to get out of bed, you first had to get into bed, right? You know, to get out of the car, you have to get into the car. And to get out of a room, you must first go into the room. That all makes sense. One of the greatest things about living for God is the joy of coming out. Amen. Being set free, being delivered, you know, coming out of the grip of the enemy, coming out of sin, all those things. There's great joy when we come out. In this world, the Bible says that we will have tribulation. Amen. That doesn't have anything to do with our faith. It doesn't mean that we're weak. It just means that in this world, there's going to be some trouble. In Botswana, we have the word for trouble. It's called matata. Oh, matata, trouble. We have troubles. In this world, you will have trouble. You will have tribulation. But the good news of the gospel is, but our God has and will deliver us out of them all. Amen. That's the good news of the gospel this morning. And so, David said in Psalm 66:12, he said, Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out into a wealthy place. And I want you to know that God will bring you out into a healthy place as well. In 2007, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And they didn't give me much opportunity to live. In fact, I was in Botswana. Jana was in America. And a doctor in the capital handed me the paperwork that basically said it's over. And he said, get your affairs in order. He said, go ahead and kiss your wife goodbye, kiss your children goodbye. He said, tell your staff goodbye, tell your loyal team goodbye, tell your church goodbye. Tell your 14 branch churches that we have all over the villages in Botswana, tell them goodbye, because it's stage 4, you see. It's quite bad, and it's over for you. But I'm here to tell you, I'm here to just release the spirit of faith in this house today. I want you to know that it's not over until God says that it's over. I want you to turn to somebody right now, give somebody a high five, and just look at them and say, hey, it's not over. Because I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what you came in with today. But I know that there are trials, there are tribulations, things that come into our life. But I want to encourage you today, whatever you're in, let my life and Jenna's life speak loudly to you today. It's not over. There's still things good coming into your life. And so I believe that God wants to take us to a new level. I believe that God wants to change the address that we've lived at from doubt and unbelief to a place of faith and trust in our life. And I'm here to announce to you today, boldly and with all glory to God, that I am today here present in Minden, Louisiana, alive and well, 11 years on the other side of stage 4 cancer. I'm healthy. I'm whole. My best days are ahead. So be encouraged. You say, where did you have cancer? Well, I had cancer of the throat in my tonsil. You see, the enemy will always try to silence the voice of God. You know, whenever you step out for God, you know, you'll just hear in your subconscious or deep in your heart, you'll hear the hiss of the enemy that says, shh, don't do that. Don't step out for God. Oh, don't do that. Oh, you'll embarrass yourself. Oh, you know, you can't do that. But you need to silence the sound of the enemy. When fear comes knocking at your door, just let faith answer the door and say, God is greater than anything that I'm up against. And so 11 years on the other side of cancer, and the miracle didn't come instantly. It didn't come like with a shundai and some oil on my head, although God can miraculously deliver you that way. God can heal you. I've seen it done before. But the miracle came in the middle. I went through chemotherapy. I went through radiation therapy, 6 years or 6 months of my life. And during that time, I remember God spoke to Jan and I. He said, listen, he said, the devil's trying to sink your dream like a ship upon the water. And he said, if you'll just keep your eyes on the other side, he said this to us. He said, if you'll keep your eyes on the other side, there's something beautiful waiting for you there. We thought, okay, well, let's do it. So we found our healing in our ministry. Every day when we're at MD Anderson, we'd pray for the sick. We'd reach out to those that were suffering. And every Sunday, if I could, I'd be in a pulpit preaching someplace. I found my healing in my ministry, in my calling. And so, you know, we did that. And do you know that when we came back to Botswana, it's a long story, but I just want to encourage today with the goodness of God. You know, I was only back and being recovered from this stage 4 cancer when God brought a man into our life. And he wrote a check, a big check. And he gave us a beautiful 4-star private game reserve, gave it to us as a sustainability partnership for our ministry and our work. And you see, God knew in the middle of all that trial, in the middle of all that those things that were going on, that God would come through and God would bless our lives. And today, you know, we have that lodge, and it's beautiful. It's called Royal Tree Lodge. You can Google it. And it was a gift from God to encourage our lives and to be a sustainability partner to help us in our programs today. I want to encourage you, there's a miracle for you in the middle of whatever you may be going through. Maybe it's not today, but I want you to help me just raise your hand and thank God today for what he's done in my life and the fact that I'm here because of his mercy and his grace. Maybe you're here and you just feel like you're lost out. It's the storm, you know, that you're not going to make it. But I tell you, just like Jesus spoke to the wind, he will calm those difficult things in your life and he'll bring victory out of it. You know, a lot of good songs are written about, you know, coming out of the problems in our life. You know, there's a lot of great hallelujah songs about that, but not too many songs that are written about going into the valley, because we can sing and shout about the coming out like I can do this morning. But it's difficult when you go into a problem. How many of you know that maybe in something now or you've gone through some difficult things, it's tough to go through hard times. But, you know, we can dread that going in. But let me remind you something. In order to come out victorious, you have to be willing to let God take you through. Oftentimes, we ask God to deliver us from the situation when we ought to pray, Lord, give us the grace to bring us through the situation, because it's in the middle where the miracle happens. It's in the middle where God does his greatest works. When we think it's the darkest hour, did you know that it's the darkest at 12 midnight, just before it gets close to dawn and the light comes through? Don't give up. Don't cast away what God showed you in the light in the midst of the darkness, because God is faithful. And so, you know, think about the children of Israel. They would have never come out of Egypt if they had not have gone into the Red Sea. They would have never came out of the wilderness had they not, you know, been willing to go through the wilderness to come out into the promised land. Naaman would have never been whole if he would not have been willing to dip himself in the water. And David could have never said, King David could have never said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had almost slipped. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. You know, David knew that he wasn't walking through the valley of the shadow of death alone. And I don't know who what valley you may be walking through today, but I can tell you this, that I know who can walk through the valley with you. His name is Jesus, and he's faithful. The lame man could have gotten his healing unless he stepped into the troubled waters. God cannot bring you out unless you allow him to bring you in. And I am here today as a result of this life message that I'm preaching to you this morning. You know, one day, the church, the people of God, you know, the church is not a building. We are the church. You and I are the church. But the church is going to be taken out of this world. Thessalonians teaches us that the church will be taken out. But in order for you and I to be a part of that departure, we have to be in Christ. Amen. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we have to use this time that we have to reach the lost. We have to use this time to lift hurting, sighing, dying humanity. We have to take this time to get as many people in Christ as we possibly can so they can go out of this world when that last trumpet sounds. Can I get an amen this morning? You know, we have to tell them, you know, what the good news of the gospel is. Thank God that you're a church that's gracious, that lets your pastor travel around the world and bring the good news, that you support him and you allow him to be out. And even when, like the little YouTube clip this morning, even when it's seemingly the mousetrap of life, you know, seems to be on you, that you can find strength in your weakness. God said that, you know, through the word, he says that in my weakness, I'm made strong. Amen. And that he'll establish your feet. You know, in our text that I read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it says that they were, that they got out of the fiery furnace. And there is joy in coming out, but it's hard going through. I don't think anybody would argue with me that this morning. We like the coming out, but we seldom have the courage to go through. Amen. It's the going through that scares us. Maybe I'm possibly preaching to somebody this morning that may be going through a life-threatening situation. Maybe you've got a bad report, but I want you to know that God's got a better report for your life than what the doctors have given you. And God's wanting to step in, you to step in some new things. I just sense that maybe God's challenged you. Maybe it was last year, over a few years. God wants you to step out into new things. But you've had a little bit of fear, a little bit of apprehension. But I want you to know, fear not the call of God on your life. Oh, when God calls you, he'll appoint you, he'll anoint you. He'll make everything work for you. When you answer the call of God, he'll have all of heaven that will back you in that call that he's put into your life, like he has Jan and I. You know, God's wanting to bring you out, but you have to step in. Some of you can feel his hand gently, just kind of, you know, kind of leading you, his voice calling you. You know, Peter would have never walked on the water if he wouldn't have been brave enough to get out of the boat. And the woman's daughter would have never been healed unless she was in the house where Jesus was. And it's time for us to step in. I think it's time for us to jump in, because God's waiting for us, the church, to move out in these last days and do great and mighty exploits. You know, here's what I'm saying to you this morning. After you step in, because I hear what you're saying, you know, these things are not easy, you know. And where's the faith in this? But remember this. Here's what I'm saying. When you step in, but before you come out, there's an in-between. It's in the in-between from the time that you're going through the struggle, you're going through those dark times, you're going through those impossible situations. There's something that is called the in-between. And it is in the in-between that I have found God to be the creator of great miracles and great deliverance. God has done over and over and over again in our life. And it's in the middle, when you think that you can't go on, that you're made strong. And it is the atmosphere that God delights in bringing his best work into your life. The miracle power of God is always in the coming out, not always in the coming out, and it's not in the going in, but the miracle's in what happens when you're going through the difficult times. Because God is always at his greatest in our sight when he reveals himself as we go through. You know, David's greatest revelation of God wasn't when he was on the throne, but it was when he was joined through the suffering and the agony of his adulterous affair and all that his failures. That's when he was at his, God revealed himself to him at his greatest. Psalm 23 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." See, David realized that once he stepped into the valley, that he was going to come out of the valley because God was walking with him through the valley. I'm preaching good news to somebody this morning. I hope that something's coming on you today, because I didn't drive from Conroe, you know. I want to encourage you today. I'm a good news preacher. And you may have stepped in some trouble, but you're going to make it out. Victory's going to come to you. You're not going to stay where you're at today. You're going to make it out. God is with you, and he will see you through. And that idol-worshiping King Nebuchadnezzar threw those three boys into the fiery furnace. And then he said, "Wait, I threw three in, but I see four." And he said, "The fourth one is like unto the Son of God." You know, God revealed himself through the fire, and God's going to show up for you as you go through. It may not be happening now, but mark your words. I'm not a prophet of doom, but I'm just telling you, life will bring difficult situations to you. It's not what you go through. It's how you come through it. It's how you look at things. And the message this morning is, change the way that you look at things, because God will always take the bad things. He'll turn them around and use them for the good things, because the Bible says all things work together for good. I'm telling you what, you know, when Jesus went to the cross, it didn't look like it was good. Yet today we call it Good Friday. He didn't think it was good at that time. He couldn't have saw anything good in it. But you know, here's the fact. Here's the miracle, that all things, all the things out there that seem to working against you, God's going to take them and make them work for you. All these things are still coming together, but when they come together, it's going to work for good for your life. It's going to change things like it has Janet's life. It's going to turn around, because the God that I'm preaching about is the God of the turnaround. He'll turn it around for you today. The disciples, you know, for Jesus, you know, they went through storms. The woman with the issue of blood passed through the crowd, and that's how she got her medal. It's the miracle's always in the midst of the difficulties of things. And as Jesus passed through the cities, people were healed and delivered. That's where the miracles are. That's where God is, in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the times, when you think He's not around. I'm going to say this morning, when you think nothing's happening, something's happening. When you think nothing's happening and you're saying, what's happening? God's making something happen. You just don't see it. God doesn't always work out here in the visible world. Sometimes God's working behind the scenes. He's causing all those things to come together because they were meant bad for you, you know, but God's going to use them for good for you. When Joseph went to the pit, he said, they meant it for bad, but God meant it for good in my life. Oh, I'm telling you today, I want to encourage you. You know, the children of Israel walked into the wilderness, but one day they walked into the promised land. Amen. We've had 33 years in the wilderness. You say, can God set a table in the wilderness? I guarantee you, God can set a table in the wilderness. In 1989, you know, we had come from a tent. We finally got moved into another house, and we began to build the dream. And a tall, beautiful tribal warrior from the Humbukush tribe come running to the little school we had started, and he began to proclaim. He said, Pastor Jerry, he says, your house is on fire. So Jan and I, you know, we looked, and we could see from the village that the smoke was coming from the bush, and we didn't know what we'd find, but we got in the car. There were no fire truck. There was no help. And when we got there, we found our first house and everything that we had accumulated after 10 years, because we went with nothing. Remember, $300, and we lived in a tent. And when we got there, the house was burnt to ashes. There was nothing left. Our personal items, our children's things, everything was gone. It was just incinerated. And we had an opportunity that day. We could have drawn a line in the sand. We could have said, well, look, you know, we've put in 10 years. We've done some good. Let's go back and let's just wave our missionary flag and come back and get a mortgage and get back into, you know, into the things of America. And let's just say that we fulfilled our calling. But I remember that day as we stood in the burned out brickwork, or it was stonework, of where we had slept that night. And Jan and I, we held hands and we were devastated. We were. And we looked and we saw everything, you know, burnt to ashes. I remember, Jenna, something rose up inside of her. Thank God for spunky women. Thank God for faith-filled women. Amen. Something rose up inside of her, and I remember she saying, no, devil will not stop. We're going to go farther. We're going to do more than we ever did before. And we drew a defining line in the sand that day. And I tell you what, from the loss of that house, it was within about 6 months' time, God gave us a piece of property that was over 26 hectares. That's about 50 acres or more. And God began to bless our lives. And we got, for the one house that we lost, we got 11 houses for that. And then God began to give us buildings. I remember being out in the middle of the Kalahari, and there were no buildings, but we had land. And I would get down when nobody could see me, because sometimes, you know, faith can make you look foolish, you know. And so I would get down, I'd pick up the sand and the full moon of the Kalahari, and I'd begin to speak to the sand. I'd say, sand, in the name of Jesus, I command you to cause buildings to come forth in the name of Jesus. And then I would begin to, by faith, I hear the sound of parchment turning the pages, as a Bible school will be. I began to call the things that be not as though they were. I began to hear children playing at the school. And today, I tell you, that campus is beautiful. It happened, but it happened through adversity. Nothing good ever happens just easy. You got to fight life through. But in the end, we can say the dream is true. Amen. And so we learn to call the things that be not as though they were. What you see, listen to me. You have eyes that are natural eyes, but you also have an eye, and you can learn to see and train it to see it through the eye of faith. And you can see things as the way they should be. Amen. Instead of seeing myself in a hospital bed, you know, dying of cancer, I remember Dr. Rob Carmen said, well, Jerry, he said, what projects haven't you finished? He said, when you go back, just begin to think about all the things that you got to finish. See, I begin to look at beyond the circumstances. That's what you got to do. You got to focus beyond the problem. And so we did that. And I tell you, I just began to move past all the difficulties of going through those treatments. And today, I'm alive and well. What you see and what you believe determines the boundaries or the borders of your life. If you can see it through the eye of faith, God will let you have it. He'll let you walk in it, the goodness and the promises of God. And I can tell you story after story so many times about the goodness of God, but I want somebody to get ready for the miraculous this morning, because God wants you to walk through the middle of your adversity. God wants to come in the midst of the trouble of your life, the impossible situations. I'm preaching about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the same God that delivered them out of the fiery furnace. I'm telling you today, if you're in trouble today, that God will deliver you out of the fire, out of the trouble, out of disease, out of sickness. God will do it. If He did it for one, He'll do it for everyone if you'll just trust Him. He's a God that is not swayed by a person, a personality. God is no respecter of people. Amen. Maybe you've been wounded. Maybe you've been beaten down. I remember one day, I'm going to be brief, but I remember one day I was standing at the ferry where you drive your car on to go across the Okavango River. And then we would go over where we had churches planted over there. And I was waiting one day for the ferry to come. And out of my peripheral vision, I saw something I've never seen in my life before. I saw a dog, just an old village dog. And to my amazement, this dog was it's like somebody ran over him or something, but his back legs were completely blown out of him. And so he just could pull himself along with his two front paws. It was pitiful. In fact, I even had this thought. I thought, you know, I'd just take a gun and shoot this dog, man, because he's miserable, man. He's hungry. He can't walk. He can't do anything. And then the boat came, and I got on, and I took my vehicle across. And then it was some months later, maybe like 6 months later, I don't know how long it was, but I came back. And the next time I came there, as God is my witness, I saw the same dog again. But this time, something very different changed. This dog was no longer pulling itself along on its broken back legs. Now he was actually standing upright on his two front paws with his broken legs elevated. And he was walking, you know, very confidently on his two front paws. And he was fat because he'd been able to get food and stuff. And that dog, I call him the Mahimbo dog because it was at the Mahimbo Ferry. Something happened to that dog. And you say, what's that got to do with me this morning? Well, I'm not going to call you a dog, but I'm going to say this morning. If God can take a dog and cause that dog's life to turn around when it should be dead, when that dog had nothing going for it, and He somehow caused that dog to be able to stand up on his front feet and do something that I don't even know if it's possible to do, what can God do with your life today? What can He do? God can do anything if we'll just be willing and obedient. The Bible says if we'll be willing and we'll be obedient, we can eat the good of the land. We can drive the good of the land. We can live in the good of the land. We can walk in the goodness of the land. I want you to stand to your feet right now this morning. Can somebody come up and just give us a bit of music? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not trying to work up everything here.